Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. And if you'd like to follow in your Bibles, I'm going to be preaching from a passage that I preached on last week in Jeremiah 17. If you'd like to turn there, the book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah who prophesied about 450, 500 years before the coming of Christ. And last week I dealt with the same old message. I want to focus in on verse 9 and verse 10 this morning. With the deceitful heart and the new heart. The deceitful heart and the new heart. That's the title. And I made this made these points last week, but just to give you an idea if you didn't hear last week's message. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Now, what he's talking about there is man and woman by nature. And as I always make a point to say, what I'm talking about there is all human beings, as we are naturally born, as fallen in Adam, we fell in Adam, and we're born spiritually dead in trespasses and sins. You know, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 speaks of that. He says, "And you hath he quickened, given life, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And so he's talking about those who are spiritually dead, and we're physically alive. We have minds, we have a heart. You know, the heart in the Bible is the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience, all of those things. And what he's saying is that this, when he says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? He's talking about our natural fallen state, wherein we're ignorant of the right way in which God brings salvation and how a right relationship with God is established. We don't know that until God reveals it to us. And until He reveals it to us, our heart will deceive us. In other words, we can't figure it out on our own. We can't know it by human wisdom, human religion, or feelings. And so I made this point last week, how Jeremiah, he prophesied in Jerusalem quite a bit, and there's a picture in the book of Jeremiah where the people of Jerusalem are looking towards the temple that Solomon built, with their hands up in the air, spread wide open, praying and praising. But their minds and their hearts are not right with God. They don't know the gospel. They don't know how God saves sinners. They're like those in verse 5. They trust in themselves and make flesh their arm. That is, they're trusting in their own works. They're trusting in their own wills. And so the picture that Jeremiah has is, as they're holding their hands up and praying, they think they're getting nearer to God, but they're actually backing up. That's the picture. And why is that? Because the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Their hearts are deceiving them. I see people all the time in church services, what they call worship services, where the gospel is not preached, or where a false gospel is preached, a gospel that makes salvation conditioned on the works and the wills of men. And they feel good about themselves. They feel like the Spirit is there. But their hearts are deceiving them. How do I know that? Somebody said, "You don't know the hearts of all men." I know this, that if a sinner is not looking to Christ for all salvation, for all forgiveness, for all righteousness, that if they believe that salvation is conditioned on them in any way, at any stage, to any degree, but they don't believe the gospel, I know that their hearts are deceiving them. And why do I know that? It's because God says it. Now look at verse 10. He says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. The reins in the Bible is what drives, what motivates a person to do what they're doing. Whenever a person goes to worship or goes to do anything, what is their motivation? Now, if they believe that salvation is conditioned on them, then their motivation is legalism. Or, as one preacher told me one time, he said the reason he preached is because he wanted greater rewards in heaven. He wanted to earn some greater rewards. Well, that's a mercenary. See, if God tests those reins, what's he going to find? He's going to find a desperately wicked heart. And he says there in Jeremiah 17:10, even to give every man according to his ways. Now, what is your way? You say, well, I'm doing my best to be good enough to enter heaven. Well, that's a bad way. That's a wicked way. I'll show you that in Jeremiah. But let me show you how the Lord searches the heart and tries the reins. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, listen to this. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, the only way I can really know the true state of my own heart is by God searching in His Word, telling me what it's like. And here's what God says now in His Word. If you're seeking salvation by your works, by anything you do or don't do, if you're seeking salvation conditioned on you, then that's a wicked, deceitful heart. That's the natural heart. And if you don't receive what I'm saying from the Word of God, you're put in the category of 1 Corinthians 2:14 again, that I quote all the time. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. And so you can hear what I'm saying, you can know what I'm saying, but you won't receive what I'm saying until God gives you a new heart. That's what Christ told Nicodemus. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom. Why must I be born again? I must be born from above, born spiritually, given a new heart. And I'll show you that in just a moment. But look at verse 13 of Hebrews 4. He says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. You see, God is the great judge of all. And He's the one with whom we have to do. And that's what He says. You know, the natural heart is a deceptive heart, desperately wicked. Look back over in Jeremiah chapter 2. I want to show you this passage here. Now, I made the point last time that the people to whom Jeremiah was prophesying, on the whole, were religious people who were seeking salvation based upon their works. They were trying to make themselves righteous before God by their works. And that's a desperately deceived, wicked heart. And he puts it this way over in Jeremiah chapter 2. And look at verse 13. He says, for my people have committed two evils. Now here's the thing about it. When you look at a passage like that, two evils. Now, I can look at myself. I've committed more than two evils. You know, we're all sinners. We all come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's us naturally. So, but what does he mean, my people have committed two evils? Well, he's going to show the problem here under two things. He says, first, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Now, doesn't that, if you know anything about the Bible, doesn't that remind you of what Christ said to the woman at the well in John chapter 4? He said, I'm the living waters. Drink of me. He's the water of life. That's what they've done. they took the law of God and turned it into a legal system of work salvation. The commandments of men, the traditions of men. And the law was given to show them their sinfulness and drive them to Christ, the future promised Messiah, for salvation, for forgiveness, for righteousness. So they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. That's their false religion. So they've forsaken Christ, and they've tried to make a new way. A cistern that'll hold water, but it's broken. It won't hold any water. There's no life there. False religion. There's no life. My friend, the way of God's grace in Christ is the one and only way of salvation. And your heart will deceive you in every way until God gives you a new heart. Now, Ezekiel, the prophet Ezekiel, you know, Jeremiah, he prophesied, as I said, 450, 500 years before Christ. But his prophecy was given right up until the time that the Babylonian army, Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army came down and destroyed Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, and took the people into captivity. And that's where you have the prophecies of Daniel and Ezekiel when they were in captivity. And Ezekiel was born in captivity and stayed there until he died. In fact, they say one scholar says that Ezekiel is the only Hebrew prophet that did not prophesy in Judea. Now Daniel, he was in Jerusalem and he was taken captive, but Ezekiel was born in captivity. And they were going to be in captivity 7 years. And so Ezekiel prophesied that in the future there was going to be a great deliverance of God's people, God's elect, out of every tribe, kindred, tongue, and nation. And that deliverance was not going to be through the people and their works or the law. It was going to be through Christ who was to come. And he prophesied of Christ. Daniel did the same thing. But he says in prophecy here in Ezekiel chapter 36, listen to this. And this is all, we're not spiritualizing here. We're just giving you the true meaning of what Ezekiel's telling these people who are in captivity. Your hope is not in yourself. Your hope is not in the law. Your hope is not in your works. Your hope is in the promised Messiah to come. And here's what's going to happen. God says in Ezekiel 36, this is verse 25. He says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you." And he says, verse 26, "A new heart also will I give you." You see, by nature, what is our heart? Desperately wicked. That's the old heart. That's the deceived heart. But here's the new heart. "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." A new spirit means new life. That's spiritual life. By nature, we're spiritually dead. He says, "And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh." A stony heart is one that will not submit or bend or obey God's way. When you hear the true gospel, if you don't believe it, that's the stony heart. That's the deceitful heart. And he said, "I'm going to take that away." And he said, "And I will give you an heart of flesh." Now, the word flesh in the Bible often is a metaphor for sin, but here it's not. What he's talking about here is a heart that's pliable, a heart that's submissive. It's not a stony, hard heart, deceived, but it's one that knows the truth because God revealed it and bends and submits and obeys God. And he says in verse 28, or verse 27, he said, "And I will put my spirit within you," that's the Holy Spirit, "and cause you to walk in my statutes." God's going to cause them to walk in his statute because he's going to give them a new heart, you see. He says, "And you shall keep my judgments and do them." That's the gospel, following Christ. In verse 28, he says, "You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers." There is a physical application at temporal when they came back to the promised land, but they didn't keep it. But what he's talking about here, he's dwelling the land. Remember Abraham? He sought for a land, but not on earth. Read Hebrews 11. He sought for a heavenly home place. And that's what he's talking about here. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. That's a language of marriage, a marriage that cannot be broken. Christ is the husband, and his church is his bride. And if you go over, look at Jeremiah 23 now. Now, this is what happens. We're born with that natural, stony, hard, unbending, unsubmissive, deceived heart. But God in the new birth, in salvation, based upon what Christ accomplished on the cross in His obedience unto death as the surety, the substitute, and the redeemer of His people, He died, He was buried, He arose again because He put away sin. He paid the debt of all our sins, and He established righteousness. Out of Him comes life, and out of that becomes the life given to His people. Listen to this, Jeremiah 23 and verse 5. Jeremiah prophesied, and he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth." Now, that's Christ. And when did He do that? When He died on that cross, He executed judgment and justice. God's justice against the sins of all for whom Christ died, God's elect, God's justice was satisfied by the death of Christ. And it says in verse 6, "In His days, Judah shall be safe, and Israel shall dwell safely." Judah and Israel there are metaphors or symbols of spiritual Israel. The word Judah means praise. They'll praise God. The word Israel means those who have prevailed with God. How does a sinner prevail with God? By looking to Christ. And they'll dwell safely. And this is His name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. That's speaking of Christ. And so what happens when the Lord gives us a new heart? The heart of the redeemed. Well, look over at Jeremiah. Let me show you another passage here in Jeremiah 31. And this is a prophecy of the coming of Christ and the establishment of the new covenant in time. In Jeremiah 31 and verse 31, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now that's talking about spiritual Israel. How do you know that? Well, look at verse 32. "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break." They broke that covenant. You see, that was a legal conditional covenant on them, and they broke it. And that's why it shows us that we're sinners. They are sinners. People look back on the old covenant, and they act like, well, if they'd have been there, they wouldn't have broken it. Yes, you would if you're a sinner. I would have. But he said, it won't be like that. He said, "When I took them by the hand to bring them out of the Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord, although I joined myself to them, temporally, ceremonially, for a while." But verse 33, "But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts." That's their heart. That's the new heart. So you have the deceived heart, now you have the new heart. "I'll write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Be married to Him whom to know is life eternal." Verse 34, "And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord." You see, the prophets, when they brought the word of God to the people, one of their complaints was that their people do not know the Lord. They're religious, And you think about their history, how God delivered them out of Egypt, kept them together in the wilderness, brought them into the promised land, conquered their enemies, how God had blessed them temporally, ceremonially, but they still didn't know God. And that's a good lesson for us to learn today. We can be what we call blessed in this world with the good things of this life. It rains on the just and the unjust and still not know the Lord. But he said in this new covenant, look at verse 34. In this new covenant, listen to this. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now what does that mean, that they'll all know me? They'll know God as both a just God and a Savior. They'll know Him as the God of all grace, the God of salvation, who saves sinners by His grace through the blood and the righteousness of Christ. How does a sinner come to know God? It's by God's teaching, through His Word, by the power of the Spirit, in the preaching of the gospel. Look at John 6 and verse 44. Now, I know I'm having you go to a lot of Scripture today, but I want you to see this because these are the issues. This tells you the difference between the deceived heart and the new heart. In John 6, 44, it says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. All right? And I'll raise him up again at the last day. Now, here's the question we got to ask. How does God draw people? Well, look at verse 45. It is written in the prophets. Now, this particular prophecy is from Isaiah, but it pertains to Jeremiah and all the other prophets. They shall be all taught of God. Remember back in Jeremiah 17 and verse 10, it says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. Well, when God searches the hearts of His chosen people, when He tries their reins, what He's doing, He's teaching them the truth. They shall all be taught of God, John 6, 45. Every man therefore that hath heard. Heard what? Heard the gospel. Well, how do they hear? With the spiritual ear. You must be born again or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Remember what Christ told His disciples in Matthew chapter 13 when He began those kingdom parables? He said, blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. Remember in Revelation, at the end of each admonition or encouragement or correction that He gave to the seven churches, He said, let he who hath an ear, let him hear. You see, we've got to have spiritual ears in the new birth. We've got to have a new heart. And so He says, every man therefore that hath heard the gospel, heard about who God is, in His holiness and His justice. Yes, He's a loving God. Yes, He's a merciful God. Yes, He's a gracious God. His mercy endures forever, but His love and His grace and His mercy cannot be given or shown or applied unless His holy law and justice are satisfied. He's a just God. He makes Himself known in His judgments. And what does He teach us? What do we hear? We learn how God can be both a just God and a Savior by His grace based upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His work on the cross. Salvation conditioned on Christ, who fulfilled all the conditions and brought forth everlasting righteousness, all the righteousness that I need to stand before God and be justified, have a right relationship with Him. Lord, the Lord who gives me life from above, gives me ears to hear. So every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father. How do you learn of the Father? Through the gospel. You see, without Christ, if you go, listen, put it this way. If you go to meet God without Christ, without being washed in His blood, without being clothed in His righteousness, Without being one whom God says, blessed is the man to whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. If you go before God that way without Christ, you won't meet a loving Father. You'll meet a stern, strict judge who will judge you to be damned. You see, he that believeth not, the wrath of God abides on him. And so they learn of the Father, and he said, all who have heard and learned of the Father cometh unto me. They come to Christ. If you know anything about the Father, it's because you see him in the face of Jesus Christ. Now back in Jeremiah 17, look at it again in verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? I can't even know my own heart except God do this. Verse 10, I try the reins, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Many of you may have gone through something like what I've gone through in my life when they call heart catheterization. Are you familiar with that? Sometimes they don't go that far. They'll give you an echocardiogram. They'll spread this gel on your chest and put a machine, something up there that they can get images from, and you'll see the heart. And if they do a catheterization, you know, they put a catheter in, they shoot a dye in, and it shows where there's any blockage in the arteries. You can see the heart beating, all of that, and see if there's a problem. And that's for the physical heart, isn't it? Well, that's what God does with the spiritual heart. He searches. He tries. He seeks and finds, and he reveals to a person the state of their heart. I'm a sinner. I have no hope of salvation. I have no way of saving myself. My works and efforts are dead works. If there's any way, Lord, that a sinner like me can be saved, then I want your way. That's what God does. And that way is the way of grace through Jesus Christ. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.